Welcome to the Vault Podcast, classic music reviews, presented by IV Creative. Now, here's your hosts, B. Cox and the crew.
Greetings and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Vault Podcast, classic music reviews, presented by IV Creative. It's a perspective of the classics from a fresh point of view. We appreciate you for taking your time and lending your ears to our perspective. You could be anywhere listening to anything, but you're right here with us, so we thank you. With you today is yours truly, B. Cox, and want to give a quick shout out to everyone out there stateside and worldwide for continuing to support the show. Guys, we thank you for your support. As a reminder, make sure you are going to vaultclassicpod.com. Once again, that's vaultclassicpod.com. You can go there, check out our featured episodes as well. Check out the catalog in full. Also, make sure you're going to our guest page to see the profile of all of the guests that have been on the show. You can see guests such as the R&B Representatives, Troy Podcast, we just a couple of episodes with back to back. Also, Van Everett from the Scenario Radio Show. Past guests such as Khalil Wonder from the Regular Lover Podcast and many, many more. Make sure you go to vaultclassicpod.com. Check out the merch store as well. Springtime is here and summertime will be here before you know it. Make sure you're there and go check it out. As I mentioned, at the end of this month, we're going to be launching a new tee. So make sure you stay up, join the mailing list, and make sure you're aware and up to speed when we get this new merch out. And make sure that you're copping something to show that you support the show so that we can continue to keep the vault open for many years to come. Once again, that's vaultclassicpod.com. As we always like to say here on The Vault, our motto is hashtag open the vault, hashtag nothing but the classics or MBTC. And today we have yet another bonus episode, and it's another reflective one. For those of you who remember the early days of The Vault, we had a number of different episodes that we started when we started in August of 2019, and a first few number of episodes where we did our reviews to start the show, and one of them is the album we're going to talk about now, which is celebrating a milestone birthday coming up this week. It is none other than Outkast, Southern Playalistic, Cadillac Music, turning 30 this week, and it was the fourth episode that we did on The Vault, episode number 4 overall, published on September 16th, 2019. Yes, The South Got Something to Say. That was the subtitle of the episode. And as we did with Illmatic last week, I wanted to do an album just to reflect a little bit on Southern Playalist of Cadillac Music. We already did a review. And for those of you out there who want to hear the review about what we did in our infancy stages of the podcast, you know, give us a little grace. We were just starting out. But it's episode number 4. It was published on September 16th, 2019. Outkast on the Playalist. Go listen to the episode and let us know what you think. But I wanted to just bring up a couple of points of emphasis and also talk about the atmosphere. And also looking back 30 years from now, what the legacy of that album and what Outkast's legacy is as well. And we'd be greatly remiss if we went into this podcast and did not give our condolences to the family and also big rest in peace to none other than Rico Wade of Organized Noise, the trio of Rico Wade, Ray Murray, and Sleepy Brown, who were responsible for putting together not just Outkast, but Goody Mob and the entire Dungeon Family, which was a collective that was based out of Atlanta of all these artists and acts that came together to make music and eventually would set the world on fire with their music and would change the way things were done as far as hip hop was concerned in Atlanta for the next 3 decades. But the main architect around that was Rico Wade. And for those of us who watched the Art of Organized documentary, which is on Netflix and now mysteriously can be found nowhere on the internet or anywhere on streaming either. But when the Art of Organized Noise documentary came out, they explained it perfectly in the documentary in the opening. Sleepy was the core player. He definitely did a lot of harmonizing and the melodies, especially a lot of the hooks that were sung were his brainchild. He helped to conceive that. Ray Murray is definitely the beatsmith, the guy who worked with the MPCs, worked with the SP-1200, did a lot of the technical things when it came to the beats, especially when it came to a lot of the drums as well. But when it came down to what the mouthpiece was, really, the Madini Brown of Organized Noise, also someone who creatively contributed so much to not just the sound, but also to how the way a producer traditionally worked on a record with formatting, with the lyrics, the hook, song composition, how the recording was done, bringing in all the musicians that worked on this album. A lot of that was on Rico Wade. And yes, he was the one that you saw the most that was in the public eye. He took on that responsibility and that role and he flourished in it. And as a result of that, Outkast flourished because of it. And the group Organized Noise eventually saw so much success with bringing in these artists into the fold and into their collective. And Rico was a very big part of helping to make Atlanta, the hip hop scene, what it is today. Just looking to see what they did, Organized Noize did over the period of that 4 to 5 year period, right when they started and found Outkast and released their debut album, up until when they signed that production deal that we all heard about during the documentary with Interscope. But even afterwards, they still contributed so much to the scene in Atlanta artists. And that gained them, of course, the respect of so many people in the industry and those in Atlanta who came out who made such a big name to themselves, because they knew that they owed a bit of a debt to them because of what Rico Wade and what Ray and Sleepy Brown of Organized Noize did to help propel Atlanta forward, because that was at the forefront of their mission, was to help to propel Atlanta forward as a scene. And they did that. So rest in peace to Rico Wade out there, gone at the age of 52, so young. But it just reminds you that when they were doing this, they were in their teens and in their early 20s when they were doing this. And as we mentioned last week during the Omatic episode, you're always blown away in these years afterwards to understand and know the age of what some of these folks were doing, so many of these classic albums and music projects, and then being so young. So to go into something, play a list of Cadillac Music. Now, the reason why this is so important and the reason why I harp on this so much is because this was my introduction to Outkast. And as a result, was my introduction to Goody Mob, and also to Organized Noize. When Southern Playalistic dropped in 1994, and when Outkast made their first splash with Players Ball on the LaFaye's Christmas record in 1993, Atlanta hip-hop was not a new thing. I mean, there were plenty of acts that came out of Atlanta starting in the 80s and into the early 90s. There were a lot of local talent that had a sound that was reminiscent of sort of Miami's bass music that eventually they transitioned and made their own bass music, Atlanta bass music, or a variant of it. There were a lot of stars out there that were recording in Atlanta that were local and were pretty much known in and around the city of Atlanta. And regionally, they had a little bit of reach, but not really much outside of that. I mean, you had stars like Kilo Ali. You had MC Shadi, Raheem the Dream. You had DJ Smurf, who people now know as Mr. Khaled Park. Of course, DJ Toont was out producing things during that time as well. And of course, one of the biggest figures in Atlanta hip hop was present during this time and was in the process of signing one of the biggest acts during the early 90s was a kid group called Criss Cross. And we're talking about none other than Jermaine Dupri, a.k.a. JD, who would go on to start So-So Def Records based out of Atlanta. So-So Def Records, which eventually became the home to The Brat, Jagged Edge, Xscape, them Franchise Boys, amongst so many others. Well, during this time in the early 90s, LaFaye Records is also getting started up in and around Atlanta. And this was started by record producers Kenneth Babyface Edmonds and Antonio L.A. Reed. They were starting LaFaye Records, and they were mostly R&B guys. They were not rap or hip-hop guys at all. What happened when Rico brought Outkast to L.A., to have them have an opportunity to sign with LaFaye through an introduction through Pebbles, as we found out during the documentary, he was not sold on the ideas of whether or not Outkast would be stars or not. So they gave them a couple of showcases and then gave them the spot on the LaFaye Christmas record, which ended up being Players Ball, and the rest, as they say, is history. So that also laid the foundation for Outkast to get started in recording their debut album once they had the deal in place and once LA was on board, kind of also giving Rico, Sleepy, and Ray the creative license to be able to go and produce this album by themselves. And what they did is produce an album in Southern Playalistic, which would go on to shape the discussion and also the tenor of what Atlanta hip hop would be for the next decade plus. So Southern Playalistic comes out. We're listening to this album. What a lot of folks don't understand is that there really weren't any samples on this album at all. A lot of this stuff was live instrumentation. So what you're hearing and what you think is samples is actually them being in the studio getting down and lots of talented musicians playing and recording for Southern Playalistic. I mean, you talk about the likes of Preston Crump and LaMarcus Jefferson, Mr. DJ, singers like Joy, and Deborah Killings, Sleepy himself taking part of this as well, Goody Mob, T-Mo, Big Gip, CeeLo, all of them involved in this making of this album. Then, of course, all the engineers that are there taking part in the recording of the album, Craig Love, a guitarist. So there's so many people that were involved in recording of this album, and then it drops, and it's perfect. It is an album that, as Dee Dee Hibbler, who is also Peaches, who you heard on Southern Playalistic in the intro, who was married to Ray Murray, actually said that when they listened to the first recording of the album and they sat back and listened to it in the B room and everybody listened to it, and when it went off for like the first minute, nobody could speak because they were all amazed at what they had just done. I mean, nobody could say a word. And this album comes out and it's a hit. It's a hit. And why wouldn't it be a hit? Because it did so many things to capture the sensibilities of what Atlanta was and what it would become as a hip hop city. And it was perfect for the time period in which it came out. And the messengers and Big Boi and Andre were the messengers that you needed to deliver that message. Just talking a little bit about as far as what it did for OutKast, Southern Playalistic. It propelled them to be recognized as a force to be reckoned with in the industry for years to come. And eventually it led to growth, opportunities, and success. That would follow them with the catalog. When you look at it, it's pretty much unmatched by very few of any genre during the time period that it came out. We're talking between 1993 and 06. And it also led to their most successful moment to date, which is winning multiple Grammys and an album of the year for Speaker Box Love Below during the Grammys in 2004, which is a rarity in hip hop. Not many albums have won album of the year. Matter of fact, you can count them on one hand. How many albums have won album of the year, hip hop albums during the Grammys? But that's what it did for OutKast. And it led to so many different other things as a result of those who came after OutKast as well. Now, a few points of emphasis to talk about what was going on. We mentioned about all the rap acts that came before OutKast. There were lots of rap acts out there before they blew up. But the emergence of OutKast, of Southern Playalistic, which eventually led to the emergence of Goody Mob, Organized Noize, and the rest of the Dungeon Family, it made the rest of the industry and nationwide audience pay attention to Atlanta. And while they may have not necessarily respected it out the gate, it made them pay attention. I mean, it was even, I believe it was Russell Simmons who during the time when Southern Playalistic came out, that he kind of trashed it saying that it was, you know, they were corny and Southern and country and nobody wanted to listen to that shit. Well, that was really what a lot of folks were saying from other parts of the country, specifically those from up north. And this what led to when OutKast won the Best New Artist during the Source Awards in 1995 to Andre saying what he said, this famous clip about people don't want to respect you, don't want to listen to a demo tape, but South got something to say, and that made history. Secondly, upon the success of OutKast, their singles, and a debut album, it really began a period of where, for the first time en masse, Atlanta radio stations started playing Atlanta artists as their popularity and demand grew. Now, I watched the Freaknik documentary, and this was one of the last things that I saw Rico in. This is the Freaknik documentary on Hulu, The Greatest Story Never Told. Rico described the time right around 1993-94 when Southern Playalistic was getting ready to come out. Is that a couple of weeks before the album was supposed to drop, Freaknik 94 is happening. So they deployed their folks, went out in the streets, and gave people who were sitting in the traffic trying to get to the park to take part in the festivities, were giving them samplers of the album of Southern Playalistic that would come out. Now, what did that do? It helped to reach an audience, not just in Atlanta, but also all the people from all over the country that were there for Freaknik were sitting there in traffic with this sampler that had been handed to them just not moments before. They put that CD in or put that tape in and started playing it. And before you know it, there are tons of cars in traffic all playing the same sampler. So what does that do? It creates some anticipation. If you're down with it and you dig it, you eventually want to know more. Well, not even a couple of weeks after that, the album drops. And for those who were in Atlanta, it sort of gave them the validation, but if you weren't from Atlanta and you took that tape or CD back home with you, if you dug it and got it around to other people, the word eventually was going to spread. It really was a genius, genius idea by Rico, Organized Noize, and the other folks who were part of that effort to get that sampler out amongst the masses at Freaknik, because what better place to do it other than that? The third thing, the sound that was propagated through this album and also from Goody Mob's debut album, Soul Food, helped to popularize both the saying and the style of Dirty South rap and hip hop. Yes, that term, Dirty South. Music that could stand on its own, it was unapologetically Southern in its construction, presentation, and delivery. Now, if you loved hip hop, you would admire what they were doing and the differentiation they provided, which was pretty much a juxtaposition to what the rest of the industry was doing around the country. And if you were from the South, you loved it. The fact that it stayed true to what life in the South was. Southern culture, present, accounted for, and definitely enthusiastic. Lastly, after this period of emergence between 1993 and 98, which sees Southern Playalistic come out, Goody Mob's debut album come out, Soul Food, the sophomore album for OutKast, AT Aliens, and the sophomore album of Goody Mob, Still Standing, as these albums are released, at the end of this period between 1993 to 1998, the floodgates for Atlanta opens, and it leads to a period of explosive growth into the early 2000s and into the beginning of the 2010s, where Atlanta became really the center of the hip-hop genre, and it became really the center of culture for a long time despite what many other people may say from other areas. Once it got into the new millennium and into the thick of the new millennium, Atlanta became the epicenter of what hip hop was. And really, all of it comes back from Two Dope Boys and the Cadillac. Southern Playlist, the Cadillac Music as an album, which was an incredible, credible work. And just looking at the tracks, some of the tracks on here, some of Outkast's best tracks, and also some of the best tracks that you've seen in Atlanta hip hop history and hip hop history overall. We talk about songs like Ain't No Thing But a Chicken Wing and that great clip from Joy in the Art of Organized Noise documentary, how she said she listened to it in the adjoining studio. She could hear that bass line rumbling with that sample every 5 to 10 seconds or so. That she said is some of the baddest shit she ever heard before in her life. The song Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music. A song like Call of the Wild featuring Goody Mob, which definitely, we talked about that dirty South hip hop, definitely gave it its sound. Players Ball, which so many people will still cite as the breakthrough song and one of Outkast's best songs of all time because it had life, not just as a Christmas song in the LaFace album, but a reworked version, which would definitely be something that Outkast could play at any time during the year, not just Christmas. But really, the important songs that I see and one of the songs that really is personal to me is Get Up, Get Out featuring Goody Mob. And just that whole song, the longest song on the album, is just a reminder as far as what the state was of Atlanta and youth in the South. And it made me sort of, you know, it's not just the message of the song about making something of your life. It's also about the circumstances that you are in and how that affects you trying to make things better for yourself. And that sometimes things aren't cut and dry. It isn't just a straight ascent up to the top. Because that's the way that life is. And so that is probably one or two of my favorite songs on here is Get Up, Get Out. But then you get into the interludes and the skits in here, man. The Club Donkey Ass and the Flim Flam and True Dats, you know, that's sort of putting that little personal spin on it and that flavor that sort of gets you in that Southern humor, that bit of creativity that sort of gets you, that takes that regional sound, that Atlanta sort of culture, and intersperses it in between the albums and this fire that you get between these tracks, man. Tracks like Crumbling Herb and Hootie Hoo really touch at the base of what Atlanta was and what Outkast was trying to put out there as newcomers to the industry. I mean, we talk about this track list. It's a track list that needs to be cherished and remembered because there are so many great things on this album. No skips, as you possibly know, but this really does lead to a period of time where the South starts to creatively get into its own bag, as they say. And Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music. While many people will say you want to talk about Outkast and their catalog, you can argue definitely that this may or may not be the best album in their catalog, but I would argue that there isn't a more important album in Outkast's catalog, or I would even say, dare say, in Atlanta hip hop's history, than Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music. Why? Because without this, and without the public really gravitating towards it, does any of this stuff really even happen the way that it will? I don't think so. Do you get Atlanta being the success that it comes being as an epicenter to hip hop? I don't think so. So if Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music doesn't take off, do we have a Goody Mob? Does the Dungeon Family even really become a thing? Will you eventually get a T.I., a Ludacris, a Dumb Franchise Boys? Are you going to have the emergence of folks like Shorty Red and Young Jeezy and Gucci Mane? Do you see folks like Lil Baby coming out? I don't know. We never know. The one thing that we do have to say is that we don't have to wonder whether or not what would have happened if it didn't work, because it did. And Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music, as I said, you want to talk about just the best albums of 1994, it's definitely up there. But you want to talk about some of the best albums and important albums of the 90s, this is probably right up there as well. Because without this, there may not be what we seem to hold the esteem in Atlanta in regards to what it does music industry and also for hip hop. So props to Outkast, props to Organized Noise, props to the rest of the Dungeon Family for coming together to make this happen. Really what was a seminal moment in Atlanta music and hip hop history, the debut album of Outkast on the playlist of Cadillac Music, turning 30 years old. And once again, as we always say, a big, big rest in peace to Rico Wade of Organized Noise and to thank him for him really getting the vision out there and putting it out there so that this could be possible. Albums like Southern Playlist, it could be possible. So there we have it. We want to hear from y'all. Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music at 30. What are your thoughts about it? What are your memories? Some of your favorite tracks? And hey, let's have the discussion. Does the scene of Atlanta make it to the point where it is today if this album did not blow up? Hit us up on social media, Twitter, aka X, Facebook, Instagram. Let's continue the conversation and keep it going. And that is going to wrap up yet another edition of The Vault. Please make sure you are visiting us at vaultclassicpod.com. That's vaultclassicpod.com. There you can learn more about the show, check out our past episodes, join our mailing list, leave a review, or if so inclined, you can leave us a voice note. Click the blue microphone in the bottom right-hand corner to leave us a voice note to let us know what you think about the show, or to just show us some love. To support the show, click the coffee cup shaded in yellow in the bottom left-hand corner to access our Buy Me a Coffee page. On Buy Me a Coffee, you can give a small monetary donation to support the show to ensure that we can keep the vault open for many years to come. You can also visit us on social media at Vault Classic Pod on IG, Twitter, and on TikTok. Also hit us on YouTube and our Facebook page. Like and follow us on social media. Subscribe to the pod and the YouTube channel. We do it here all for you. We appreciate the support, and if you have a friend, tell a friend, and make sure that that friend tells a friend. Always remember to keep your headphones on and your music loud, but not too loud. And as we close, we'd like to remind everyone to dream big, because dreams are the basis for creation. Always create, motivate, and elevate, because you were never destined or created to stay stationary or ordinary in this life. And on that note, we say peace.
Thank you for listening and coming into The Vault. Please subscribe and visit us at vaultclassicpod.com. That's vaultclassicpod.com.